It's time for a few letters to the newspaper. Quite a mixture, as always, but we'll start with David Pett of Norwich. As he mulls over the pros and cons of the various works to the A47, which are the subject of a long-running saga of objections, which we heard about in our first news item. David writes, "The recent editorial regarding Dr. Andrew Boswell's legal challenge against the A47 improvement projects overlooks the environmental implications and the genuine concerns of many residents. Labelling these efforts as mere lawfare that burdens taxpayers simplifies a complex issue about ensuring progress does not harm our environment. The argument that these road schemes are vital for economic vitality fails to address the urgent need to reduce carbon emissions and move towards sustainable development. Supporters of Dr. Boswell, who are also taxpayers, are deeply concerned about the environmental legacy we leave for future generations. Not acting on whims, but on a desire for responsible progress. Suggesting Dr. Boswell seek an electoral mandate instead of pursuing legal action misconstrues the nature of environmental activism. Legal challenges are a legitimate tool for holding institutions accountable, especially when other avenues prove ineffective. In urging consideration of the broader context, this is not merely about delays or financial implications, but about safeguarding our environment for the present and future."
The difficulty of buying physical tickets for anything these days is highlighted by John Murray of Norwich. John writes, "As a former Cambridge resident, I used to enjoy the Cambridge Folk Festival, one of the best events in the city. Living in Norwich now, I recently phoned the Cambridge booking office to buy a ticket for this year's concert, but was disappointed to be told they no longer sell actual physical tickets. They just email them to you. As I don't have a printer or a smartphone, I would have no means of presenting the ticket at the gate. Luckily, I do have a helpful daughter who will print me a ticket. Without someone to help, I suppose I'd have shrugged and given up the idea. This is typical of the way that many of us are being casually excluded from various aspects of life by the thoughtless application of technology, with no space allowed for choice. This is similar to the attempt to scrap physical rail booking offices. Luckily, a combined campaign by rail users and unions nipped that in the bud. Otherwise, many of us, especially the disabled, elderly, and those unable to afford or use digital technology, would have simply given up on rail travel. Institutions, whether public or private, should be legally obliged to allow some choice and not discriminate in this way."
Brian Mitchell of Norwich has something to say about electric buses and the state of our roads. "The new electric buses are nice and quiet on the outside, but riding in one from Eton into the city, they rattle like the diesels. It's the many cast iron drainage grates, manholes, all deep enough to be called potholes. It's a nice, smooth surface in the main, but they seem to like making the iron grates and covers an inch or so below, giving bus passengers the rattles fit to loosen their teeth."
Finally, you may have heard the furore over the depiction of the English flag on the international football shirts produced by sports firm Nike. J. Ray of Aylsham objects to such Americanisms as he writes, "Why are we so subservient with regards to Americans and Americanisms? It was a disgrace that Nike were allowed to deface our national flag on the back of the England team shirts worn in the recent England versus Brazil international. And also, how come in the same game did we have player in and player out shown on our screens as Channel 4 did when a substitution was made? What happened to good old player on and player off? As I said, it's just another Americanism born out of the NFL.